episode 13 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Paul. So, what are we doing today, Paul? This is a bit of a random one.
Okay, so today's episode is called Metagames and Other Random Things.
Yeah, but there was a Game of Thrones episode that was like... Yeah.
Cripples and, like, lame bastards.
Bastards and broken things.
Broken things. I love broken things. It's great. Because you've been watching all of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we're doing that. So, yeah, that's a good point. There were 50 days, about 10 days ago.
Yes.
50 days to date Game of Thrones.
Today's
50 episodes.
Date, it is Friday the 18th of March, in just gone morning.
Okay, so I was going to do an episode a day for 50 days to get myself fully juiced up, ready for the
I've got series 5 now on Blu-ray there, waiting to watch. But yeah, I like the idea of it. But you could watch more than one episode a day if you wanted to.
I'm going to have to, because I've missed them.
All right.
But season 1's a bit slow.
Mm. It's weird looking at the kids, isn't it? Like especially Bran. Like, he looks like a kid in series 1. And, you know, he's grown up in the TV show.
It's like, weird, yeah. And things like, you see things now that I never understood.
Yeah.
Like when Jorah finds out that Daenerys is pregnant, he fucks straight off. He goes, oh, I've got to go,
yeah.
He just rides off. He goes, what's he doing? But yeah, looking back, it's quite good to watch it again. Mm-hmm. So that was a bit of a sidetrack. What were we talking about then? Oh, random cripples and bastards and things.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so that's what it is. Metagames and other random things.
So we played a game of Warmaster, and we'll chat about it, but we're not doing an army review because we've got other stuff to say.
Yeah, and we don't want to burn them out too quickly.
No.
Because thinking about it, we're not going to do higher tournament in the whole episode.
No, probably not. And
also, there's not much to say.
And also, we need to get more practice games in with the obscure armies, don't we?
So there's no point playing an army once and then trying to do a review of it.
Exactly, because we'd only get things wrong probably. So what might happen is that our army reviews become like every other week or something like that.
Yeah, because even the Chaos, I did a couple of games that I felt like I didn't really know anything about.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll basically, because we're on no agenda, we'll record an army review when we feel ready to record about it.
Otherwise, we'll talk about something useful, something entertaining, hopefully. So, we'd like to start with what you've been doing this week, Paul. What's been happening, man?
Okay, so since we recorded last, we were at Jeff's for a bit of a D&D, it was that 5th edition, isn't
fifth
it?
5th edition, yeah.
But to be
have
honest...
you played before?
No.
Not well, D&D, I mean, ever?
No, I think I have, but... I mean, I don't know anything about it. And the thing is with role-playing is that I get what it is, but at times it just seems like... But then it gets like lost in detail in the sense that the person who can create their character, the imagination quickest, gets to do the most things. And then you have this group of people and someone's like less imaginative and then gets kind of left behind because he's not... interacting as much, and then until you get to like a combat system which seems a bit more fixed and rigid and you know, like I strike, you strike. Like I like what Jeff did drawing on the map of like where we were.
I didn't do that. I've been encouraging him to do that.
Oh, okay, well that's
good.
That's good.
What I like.
Yeah, because then you can see
miniature combat and stuff.
But I just find, I mean, if it was a D&D game, like if it was Warhammer D&D, like, I'd understand what everything was, Warhammer roleplay.
Well, I've got those.
What I'm just saying, like, I would understand, I would be more keyed into that because I know what I'm supposed to be. Like, when it's this other fantasy world, I don't know the context of anything.
Right.
Yeah, so.
It's very generic.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it's generic, but it's like, I mean, if I was roleplaying a dwarf Ironbreaker, I'd know exactly what that was and what his motivations are, and I'd have much more of an idea. Anyway. Right. I've been invited, so I'm like, thank you very much, I want to go. But I turned up after work, and I'd had a real busy shift. Like, I hadn't had any breaks, and to be honest, I just ate all the food and fell asleep, really. So
and went home after an hour.
Yeah, it was a bit longer, but... So to be invited to something, I think, and, you know, when I could get to it, it's very nice, and I wanted to show that I am keen for this, but I have a job, and that had exhausted me that day. So I did that. Didn't do that. I played Erica game of War Machine because I've got a War Machine event tomorrow at the club. You know, like a very, like, it'll be a very casual, like, 3-round event. And I'm using a couple of lists one I've played once with Eric, and the other one I haven't played yet, so not expecting to do well. But also I played at the club on Wednesday a 7,000 point game of NetEpic with four of us played on a 12x4 table, which looked, I thought it looked really good actually, the table. And that was hilarious because we didn't finish it. We only got through two turns. It was too much, bit off too much that we can chew, but we knew that going into it. We just wanted, because Anthony was late and we had to start obviously when he did. And it was, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. My Imperial Guard, for some reason in the game, are allowed to ally with orcs. I don't know why.
That's a bad sign.
So I took a Capital Imperialist, which is basically a moving castle, you know, like, and it just tanks so badly.
There are no ally rules at all.
There are ally rules. Like, Tyranids can't ally with anybody.
Well, okay, they just eat them.
Yeah.
But
I would say the ally rules are really, like, flexible. Like, it's in the sense that you get some armies matching up with each other that they really shouldn't do that, should they? But they are allowed to in NetEpic. Anyway, but we're just playing...
What's the point of ally rules? Just so you can play big games or you can have part of your force...
So the idea is that you could take 25 or 50% of your force from another list. So, okay. It allows you to play big games for them. Oh, why not? I mean, we had a force of Tau squats, which I don't know if they're actually allowed to ally, but you could believe that they could, because Tau are like for the greater good, that kind of thing.
Squats don't exist. You can ally.
Squats don't exist. They're dead.
Do what you want with them.
Yeah, like, and then, but strangely, you're allowed to ally Orcs and Imperial Guard.
No.
Don't understand.
No.
But anyway, it was a great game, and we did.
Well, you could have, there were like a Chaos Imperial Guard, weren't there? They could be.
Yes, so you could have Traitor Guard.
Traitor Guard, yeah. Just, yeah, obviously, call them Traitor Guard then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else? Is that it?
That's
quite a quiet week for you. Half game of D&D, one game against Eric, and then a big...
I suppose. I mean, like, I've got a tournament tomorrow, and I have been concentrating on getting quite a lot of painting. I'm trying to prime and spray everything, you know, because basically I had to paint. I wanted my 4,000 points of Imperial Guard to be painted. Yeah, on Wednesday, which I did get done, you know, so, and then as you slowly tick them off, we've had a big NetEpic order come in, and like for six of us had ordered off pieces off it, and so there's been other hobby stuff,
right.
But actual gaming, I suppose, has been quite not fun. As much. I mean, the game against Eric War Machine was quite good, you know, like, because, but I'm going into this event tomorrow with untried lists, but I'll just rely on my natural awesomeness with Signar to like carry me through.
Natural awesomeness and their guns and Signar's guns.
Well, I'm taking a Nemo 2 tier list, which has me 6 Stormsmiths, so that should be quite fun. And they're on the paint. If I can get,
I made one of those with 6 charges once.
Yeah, well, that is a tactic you could try. It is a list.
It wasn't very good, but it was a good tactic.
You could.
I had one good turn.
Yeah, okay,
but and a lot of bad turns.
We'll see. I mean, they're two lists I want to use. And this event tomorrow, I wasn't originally going to be free for because I was going to be away with the army. The army detail changed, so I am available. And I should just go along and have fun. I mean, it's like literally 3 rounds, probably 10 players, no prize really at all, apart from kudos to say you won.
Get a certificate?
Yeah, probably, but it's no big deal. Yeah. So it's no SmogCon Masters, is it?
No. Right, so what have I been doing? I did D&D with Paul, although I stayed quite a bit longer, and we managed to complete the mission we were on. It's interesting, D&D. I'm still not loving it, but it's got some really wonky stuff that, like, if you've played D&D in the past, you'll know that in order to subdue someone, you had to do non-lethal damage, and it was a real pain in the arse. You had to kind of put your sword down with your bare hands. You had to beat him down with your bare hands and grapple him. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, he's an orc. Forget it. I'm just going to kill him.
Yeah.
Now they've created this system that you can have non-lethal any type of damage. So you can have a fireball and cast it non-lethally. So I do like 66 damage to everything, but it's non-lethal.
How is it non-lethal?
I've got no idea.
Fire. Man.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a non-lethal crossbow bolt.
It just knocks you out?
It's like, really? That's
because... it's got no tip, it's just...
I don't know what it is, it's like rubber bullets.
Yeah.
So it's like, my party are arguing that we should subdue people, and it's like, no, just kill them. Whatever. But so that's taking a bit of getting used to.
I mean, now that I know, like, now that I've played, well, I've seen what a D&D experience like that is like, and how long it will go, like, the next one, I'm like, okay, if I can't do it after work, basically, I'll be too tired. So, like, the next one I can commit to, like, I'll know what that is, and I'll turn up ready to go till 2 in the morning.
And don't be restricted by your character. Don't play lawful good or anything. Yeah. Play, like,
chaotic.
Chaotic, neutral,
just do anything you like.
Neutral, evil, or something a bit funky. That's what I play.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Right, what else have we been doing? I got a Pendrake in order of some samurai that I'm going to use as Ronin. And this is a warning to people. If you're going to mix miniature manufacturers, sometimes it's not going to work out like you want.
Oh, is it not?
Well, they're just, they're not heroic scale. Maybe the ones from Maelstrom, Militrum, or whatever, are heroic and these aren't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, they're much narrower and they're quite a bit shorter, so they're going to look a bit wonky scale-wise. Yeah. But I needed miniatures that looked a bit less samurai, because the ones I've got have all got, like,
back. It's hard to tell them apart, isn't it?
They've got, like, what do you call back banners, and these don't, but they're a bit weedy.
Well, I say about orders, I got a Pendraken order, which turned up in a good time, but my second order from Warmongers to fill out my Dogs of War, it took 3 weeks to get here. You know,
but it's America.
Well, no, I say the first order took a week to get here.
Okay.
Makes no sense. Like, the other order, pretty much the same.
Yeah, but I think you said that this was down to British postage and Heathrow.
But I didn't end up with a customs charge or anything.
No, it was just lost at Heathrow for a while.
It did arrive, just it took 3 weeks to get. So, there you go.
Right, what else have we been doing? I did a Magic the Gathering Origins draft. We've done a couple of those recently to try and find Jace, the new Planeswalker Jace.
See, like, where's Wally?
Yeah. Well, it's worth my $80 bill in a pack. Is what it is. And luckily, we've done two drafts and we've got two Jaces. So I didn't get one because I don't like blue cards generally. But that was good fun. And we played Kings of War at 12:50.
Yes, tell me about that. Because that was going on Wednesday when I was playing NetEpic.
Oh, man. I won both my games. So we played two games. I won both my games. Played against Rid, who's got Chaos Dwarfs, and they're really good. Really, really good. I was really lucky. And then I played against Tom, and he'd gone, like, elf, shooting filth. So he had, like, everything had a bow, everything. It was just millions of dice. But luckily, he rolled really badly, and I killed him.
So you're not getting up around playing Jacob?
No, I think I'm going to sign up and play Aaron, I think. Oh, no, I didn't get Ryan Spire. I see what you mean playing Jacob now. Jacob's about a 9-year-old that plays.
Well, Rid's steps up. Which is really nice to see, actually. I'd say, he's a nice little kid, and it's always nice to, like, fist bump him and stuff. Yeah, like, how you doing, Jacob? Yeah. But it was quite funny because, like, Tom beat him in the first game, and he came over to look at NetEpic. He didn't really get what it was.
Good.
But he did say in, like, the words of a brilliant 9-year-old, he's like, has anyone died yet? And it's like, we're just kind of moving everything.
We're not doing anything.
And then I said to him, like, what's happened to your game? Well, Tom beat me. And I was like, what? And I went over to Tom. I was like, Tom, you beat this child.
In a league match.
How could you?
I don't know what he did, but
so tell me about Kings of War, because I know what Magic is.
I've talked about it before. There were some good things in Kings of War.
I do like the way the units
multi-basing.
Yes, I like that. I like that.
And the nerve is good, and everything's done on your turn, on your dice, on your clock.
But are you not having a bad experience because you're not playing on proper sized tables? Because you look like small tables.
No, they were 6x4s. It's just basically because you just set up and barrel forward.
Yeah.
There's only like a third of the table being used. Because there's no point in flanking. The game's over before you get in.
Oh, really?
So if you set a flanking minute, because you basically, if you don't go in a straight line, you move a half speed with one pivot. So dwarves move 4 and then pivot. Where if you go in a straight line, my cavalry moves 16.
Yeah, they're not good at it. Yeah, okay, I can see the problem.
So I move forward, turn 4, and then the guy's on me.
Yeah.
In the flank, and then I'm dead.
Yeah.
Mm. So the game's just about pointing and.
So it's a bit like
forward.
Tetris, as in, like, you just line up your squares and
then push them in.
Push them in, yeah.
Yeah, and being flanked is just ridiculous. So, like, for example, my unit of cavalry, do 26 dice when they charge. If they charge in the flank, they do 52 dice.
Oh, so a lot more.
Yeah. Mm. So basically, you can't ever get flanked, and it's really hard not to get flanked.
Yeah, well, I think, because with Kings of War, like, as much as I can see the good things against it, because I was playing Fantasy 8th before it died, and it's like, and that was like Vide as an alternative. I don't know, like, it's when you what you're saying is what I'd fear it to be, and like, I've seen a few videos about Fantasy 9th. So, like, the new version of Fantasy...
Yeah, Ninth Age.
Which still is still in its testing phase.
It's beta, but it's all available.
Yeah. It's all available free. And again, it's like, well, to me, it's going to have the same problems that Fantasy did have. They might have corrected some of the issues of, like, for example, laser-guided cannons aren't as bad as they are, you know, like, are better in Fantasy 9th. But still, you're going to have these same problems. And it's like, and I think having I couldn't enjoy it now playing Warmaster, as in now I'm playing Warmaster again, I couldn't enjoy it because I'd just be like, well, I'd rather be playing Warmaster.
Okay, that's interesting. We'll be touching on that again, I think, later on in the episode. So yeah, Kings of War, it's good. I've got one more week left and then that'll be it for 2016. My Kings of War stuff will go back in the loft and never see the light of day until 2017.
What about your dwarves on their like pigs? Are they on pigs?
Badgers.
That's
what I'm saying, right? So these dwarf badgers, right, they break the nut.
Goats I could get behind. Goats.
Badgers are fierce, man. Fierce. Don't fight a badger.
So, badgers are small things. How have you got a badger?
Small, but I don't know. He's a dwarf, isn't he? But badgers aren't small.
Badgers are small.
They're not rideable, though.
Badgers are smaller than horses.
Yeah.
Come on, like, that's no contest.
A big dog. Badger's a big dog. Can be. Kings of War. It's quite hard not to be not too down on it. It's a good game. It's a popcorn dick game. Yeah. You just roll a shitload of dice and somebody wins.
But I think what I'm saying,
if you're looking for tactical play and strategy, this
bought,
is not it.
If you bought the stuff ready out of a box, like the way X-Wing is, then I'd
No.
I'm just saying, if it was, like, then I'd be more inclined to it. Because you have to paint. You see, even though you've got less models in a base, like profile, there's still a lot of effort to get that army ready.
If you're doing it properly, hordes are 40 models.
Yeah, exactly.
And you need quite a few hordes.
And it's the, and for something that is just such a simple gaming experience.
It's a fringe game at best.
Yeah. Oh, I do have something else to say about this, what we've been doing. If we're talking about... Are you done? Sorry, Barry, are you done?
With this? Well, I'm now.
Yeah. All right, I bought Death Watch. The
£100 board game.
No, I didn't get it for
£100. Yeah, I'm not just saying you didn't, but how much is it, Paul?
It was £100 from GW, but I did not pay that.
£100 board game?
I did not pay.
Okay, come on. No, it's going to have to be good.
I got it for £80. But I tell you what, it's as much as it's easy to jump on the GW bashing.
I don't bash GW.
No, I'm just saying, but people do.
About like, not about models.
That's what I'm wanting to point. Right, so this Death Watch game looks very much like Space Hulk. I've read the rules at like breaks at work. Yeah, that's how quick it was to read the rules. And yeah, it is basically a port of Space Hulk, you know, in a different setting. But the models are fantastic.
Right.
Like, and you get a lot. You get 11 Death Watch Space Marines with little accessories. You get 39 Gene Stealer cultists with accessories.
Wow.
And they look amazing. And it's been a while since I tried to paint. As in, I looked at, like, and owned a real latest thing that GW can do.
What about Age of Sigmar? You looked at that stuff.
Well, yeah, I did, and I didn't.
Well,
like,
well, you might not like the game, but the models are insane.
Good. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, but the so they're fantastic, and it's like they're so nice that made me want to buy the game, and I want to. I'm going to play it with Adam, and I want to enjoy it because the models are so nice. The fact they're so nice that it's like it'll also almost be a shame to use them unpainted.
Yeah.
And they're so nice that I even asked Luke about, is there a decent set of kill team rules around for tiny games of 40k? Because they're so good that you'd want to use them probably like Infinity.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'm sure you just get one librarian in a flyer and he just flies down and kills everything and flies off.
Well, that's the problem. It's like, yeah, there's no... But, I mean, and it probably won't happen. But, I mean, I don't know. I had the money and I wanted... And me and Adam, this guy, we play board games a lot and we are looking for a new one at the moment. That's perfect for us. Because you can play through the 9 missions and then change it over. And you only have... Your Death Watch is 11 strong and as they die off, you've got less for each other mission. It's like... It's very nicely done. I got a hats off to GW there. Though that's a hefty price tag. But it is very nice. I mean, you're talking 50 miniatures in there.
Okay.
Yeah, £100
is a lot.
80.
Oh.
Well, no, come on.
No,
anybody who buys...
But it's like, you say the retail is 100. It's like saying, oh, Battlelord, the retail.
But,
you get it on Amazon,
but,
it's less money. Yeah, whatever.
It is. But anybody who buys... Okay, I go to GW to pick up like random things like paint. Like, I'm not going to buy this. I mean, as much as Ron is... You know, our,
well, some people will. They'll rock up with their kids and they'll say, oh, there's a box there, you go.
But they will. But they're not trying.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
parents don't try.
I went into GW.
You want an easy life.
I went into GW to see what this is all about. And you know, there it is. What would have been better if Ron had actually played the game, actually knows something he's selling?
Did he paint it?
No, of course not. But I mean, anyway, I can forgive him that. But I'm not gonna. I mean, I'm not gonna buy it from him. This whole support your local store nonsense is nonsense.
I haven't seen this.
Well, no, just the thing. That's what that is. What the line is.
The local gaming store isn't GW. That's not when they talk about you. Support like, your local like, gaming like, store.
No, your company you. Should support your local gaming store, not your need. Not your like whim. Of like locals, it's like forget about it. I'm just going to go to an independent where they give me much better like loyalty, and there you go, and save money at the same time.
But from my point of view, it looks like a nice game. The models look excellent, but I will never use them. So what's the point?
Well, exactly. But I'll just
live in a cupboard and a drawer.
But that's again how we're different, Barry. Is I enjoy painting, and that I would enjoy painting these models.
Okay. Well, so enjoy painting.
I don't know when I'm going to get around to doing them because I've got these other deadlines, but I will enjoy painting them. The same way, like, I would want to paint the Space Hulk stuff as well, because that's nice.
Yeah. Right, today's match. Mm-hmm. Dogs of War, Paul was playing.
Indeed, I was Dogs using... So, Pendragon Order's arrived, Warmonger Order Second 2 has arrived, so I've got the stuff to make a Dogs of War army that I would like to use, and obviously for the doubles that we're going to in April, it's going to be Dogs... I'm going to use Dogs of War, so I need some practice on the table with them,
yep.
And here they are in all their glory.
I like them.
I liked them too, okay. I really did.
Well, then, read your list.
Okay, so my list is 4 Pikemen, which you must have in a 2,000 point list, 4 crossbowmen, which you must have in a 2,000 point list, 2 swordsmen, 1 ogres, 1 dwarves, 2 light cavalry, 2 knights, 2 galloper guns, 1 tusker, 1 birdman, and then a general, a hero, and a griffin, a paymaster with his pay wagon, and 2 wizards. And it gives me a 20 units, break point of 10, and I can get a scout value of 10 out of that as well.
And you left it at 1995 again, yeah? Just to annoy me.
Just to annoy you.
Just to annoy me. Yeah, so yeah. I'll put the sword in.
I wouldn't even use the sword.
But it's on the list. No. There's going to be a 5-point sword in the list.
All right.
Happy days.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. I really liked it, because it's got... It is... It's a different army. Like, because I've played Empire... And this, like, okay, so the majority of this is Empire, but it does feel generally different. Like, it's nice to have, like, a unit of ogres in there, a unit of dwarves. The galloper guns are, like, different from regular cannons enough. It's like, oh, they are quite different.
No, they're not inferior to cannons.
No.
They're harder to protect because you don't have your Hellblaster or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
But on the plus side, you have the 2 most important things in Warmaster, in my opinion.
Which is cannons and birdmen?
Artillery and flyers.
Artillery and flyers, yeah.
If you've got decent artillery and a decent unit of flyers, which you have...
Yeah, well, I think they're some of the worst flyers.
Oh, no, no, no.
But they're still flyers.
You just start using them. Well, they've got 30 centimetres shot, haven't they?
Yes, with crossbows, yeah.
Anywhere on the board?
Yeah.
100 centimetres is a long way.
Oh, okay.
Right, I think they were good.
I managed to find some really random Pendragon barbarian. They're literally called Burmen, and they are just a guy with a rock in his hand with a pair of wings on his back. And it's like, well, I don't know really what they're meant to be, but like, I got 6 of them, 2 on a base, that does it. You know, like, and the galloper guns, I'm using Napoleonic models for that.
Yeah.
10 mil. Again, looks fine. And the light, well, then that's it. And the ogres, I just used, unless I find some GW ogres. But I'm just using a 5-pound unit of ogres from Pendragon as well, which again, well, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
You know, like, but I would use a unit of GW ogres if I could find something for a ridiculoso money.
Okay, the only thing I'd say is I'd have a second unit of Birdman. I think they were fantastic.
Well, I mean, this is the first time I've tried the list.
Yeah, you know,
and
20 points.
And it's 1500, like the doubles. It's rounded down. I can only take
one. Yeah, and one. Yeah,
so
yeah,
like, this is just my first attempt. Okay. I really enjoy the pikemen. Actually, until Warmonger did those models of pikes, that's the because you have to have pikemen.
Yeah.
And those Warmonger models look so good that they just and it was interesting using these pikemen today because they've got good rules like. They're terrible in some senses, but they're fantastic in others. And it's like exactly, I really like their rules for them. Basically.
Okay, good.
So
good.
I used Dogs of War.
So your break was 10.
Break was 10.
And your scout was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I tried finally. I've been toying with this army for as long as I've been trying to play War Master. I put out an Ogre Kingdom army.
Ogres. Oh,
God Almighty. So 4 bulls with the bull tax. I pay 110 for something Paul pays 105 for because I need more hindrance. Because this list is so good, I need more hindrance. So 4 bulls, 4 lead belchers, 8 nobblers, because you have to. They did kill a unit of pikemen.
Yeah.
Rhinox riders, 2 units of those bad boys. God almighty, they're expensive. And that's it. So
and your characters.
So we had 4 bulls, 4 lead belchers, 2 Rhinox riders.
So there you go.
And that's it.
That's it.
And then the rest is hidden at the back.
But I'm really surprised you took such expensive cavalry.
Well, there is no cheap cavalry. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take these 250-point cavalry. Because you've got to have cavalry.
Yeah.
I've got no flyers. I've got no artillery. I've got no shooting, apart from defensive shooting.
Yeah.
And my cavalry's 250 points
at
a pop.
At first impressions, Ogre Kingdom seems a tier-3 list. I'd say Dogs of War were a tier-2.
Yeah.
But at first impressions, they're tier-3. I mean,
and this is on my first build. This is like, I've worked a long time trying to build something.
I mean,
that was...
this Ogre Kingdom, having played this game we just did, like, it was... Ogres played... I'd say they played differently than any other army, in the sense that, like, I was literally looking to take stands. Rather than units, I was like, okay, I'll charge in here, I'll probably lose the fight eventually, but I'll do a stand or two. And it all, they just have no attrition, Ogres, at all.
We've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything I lose matters.
Yeah.
I build the list so Paul would either have to get to the back... I've got... Just doing my characters. I've got a hero, a bruiser who's on another bull rhino, to give some terror, because if I'm going into a fight, I need to win the fight. I can't have fights I lose. Every fight I commit to, I have to win.
Yes,
because it's how the army
works.
You've
got no redundancy.
No, because what else am I? I'm going to get flanked. I'm going to outnumbered. So I have to win the combats I commit to.
Yep.
I've got a tolerant and 1 butcher. Sort of my rod of repetition, just normal shenanigans to fluff out. Okay, so not only do they have terrible leadership problems because they can't afford characters. And terrible problems with not having enough troops, then the magic's really wonky. Well, the magic isn't particularly strong. There's no spell that's like groundbreaking.
We were saying during this game, weren't we, that, like, okay, if you think it could be, is it this or that, it's the worst option, isn't it? Like, with in your
everything,
army in general,
yeah.
Was it like can those lead belts just shoot all round?
No.
Have they got range 30?
No. No.
Are you wizards? Have you got range 30 spells?
No. So the wizards have range 20 spells, and you've got to keep them. Remember, they can only order within 20 of your stuff. So how do you balance being within 20 of the enemy and being in 20 of your stuff? Or then you've got spells you have to join units for.
It's
like,
so funny watching you try to work that out. Just like
this is impossible.
Yeah.
So anyway, I built my army that Paul would either have to get to the nobblers at the back or kill every single ogre model I owned on the board. Because I had 9 units of ogres, 10 units of ogres, and you'd have to kill virtually
even
everyone.
Though this was not a very good, like, is in a tier 3 list, that's probably the best build you could build out.
I don't know.
Well, okay, go on.
I don't know what a difference would be. I tried everything I could to make it as difficult for you as possible, but the things like the artillery were just dominating towards the end. I mean, as soon as...
But hang on, we give the result away. Are we going to say the result? Can you put in a drum roll for this, like, the announcement?
Remember, I was playing ogres.
And Paul's won!
Yay!
Paul beat the streak. There will be no rematch. It's the champion. Woo! I feel like Brock Lesnar F5-ing The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Is that a refresh?
What?
F5's refresh, isn't it? We're going to talk about computers.
It's a move in
F5.
Wrestling. Yeah, he calls it
F5. F5.
No, he calls it F5.
That's what it is, refresh. F5.
Don't take this away from me, Barry. Okay. Right, so I won. Yes, I won.
10. Yeah. Oh, no, 9-7.
9-7. I almost lost, but like... I got close to losing, but yeah.
God, it was awful.
I mean, it felt like I was going to win from the start, I think.
From deployment. Onwards.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, your cavalry is so strong. I mean, the cavalry units.
It's too strong.
They're too strong, aren't they?
It's like Chaos Warriors, Chaos Knights.
Chaos Knights.
They're 200 points, but they're too much.
Yeah.
You'd rather have 2 units of Marauders or 2 units of Chariots. But these guys are even worse because they have 250 points.
Yeah. I mean, it's a. So, what the tale of the game was, we had. 2 lovely bits of building terrain that we're using as defended, and Barry held up the nobblers in some scenery, so I've got to beat his ogres, and I can just do it on it. The thing is, I'm just doing it on attrition. I get some favourable dice results. So in this game, my dice were either average, not good. Not bad. I was really quite
my dice were
average
to poor.
I don't remember there was any unique freak results, but Yeah, I mean, every time I was taking a stand of ogres, it told. Like,
especially as they've no good to charge.
And because so Barry's sending has got half his units in Nobblers are hiding. The rest of his army is ogres coming forward. So it's against my entire army.
He's not trying to come forward.
But as I say, like, that's what I'm fighting.
But I'm trying to fight a defensive war. Against people that outshoot you.
You've got no range.
I'm trying to fight defensively.
So literally, like, I was like, okay, so I can hold these cannons back because eventually they'll be in such a good position. And the attrition on the ogres was always like, okay, so ogres have killed some things, but I've killed a stand of ogres. Eventually they become combat ineffective. My knights kind of overperformed. I had two units of knights on a flank off against your two units of what are they called?
Rhinox
Riders. And they ended up doing well against
them. I think they beat them.
Yeah, exactly. So they overperformed.
With the help of the flyers.
But like,
the flyers.
Once I'd like beaten up some ogres, my Gallopicons came forward and started shelling Nobblers in scenery. And they could not be attritioned back. It's like, they're just like, we're going to do this all day. Like, I'm just going to shoot up a unit a turn.
So that was the problem with the list, is you've got what is basically a defensive army.
Yeah.
That has to play offensively.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this isn't going to work. Yeah. I've got to come forward or die.
It's a tricky one for an American football coach.
And then you've got your bull ogres who have to charge even when they're broken.
Yeah.
So I've got one stand of bull ogres charging into an entire brigade
of humans.
Like
pikemen, just like, come on.
That's not going to go well. But that's the way the rules are.
It seemed to me that their armour was there. I mean, they've got four hits across the board.
But they're not even dwarves.
But they're not dwarves, are they? And,
no.
And I was just getting little hits, digs in there, here and there. And every time...
Even the Rhinox Riders,
yeah,
are five
up.
That's garbage.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not good enough for what they are.
Would you not rather have four attacks and four of armor like Saurus cavalry?
Yes. Yeah.
And they're 140 points, not 250. Yeah. Well, they get an extra hit to Saurus, but it's not worth an 110 points.
Yeah, there's such a point sink. It was interesting playing against them. I thought you were going to use High Elves today, but it was interesting playing against ogres because I've never played against them in Warmaster.
You're never going to see anybody play them. Who's going to bring ogres?
You'd find some good models, wouldn't you?
No, but who's going to turn up to a tournament with ogres? There's no stunty cup in there. There's nobody playing ogres to get some special, what do you call it, snowflake prize.
Maybe we have to put that prize in.
Player.
Best crap player.
Best tier 3 player.
Yeah, well, there you go. If we go through all the armies and say which ones
are tier 3. I'm not sure orcs are tier 3. We'll have to work
with
them. Because Paul keeps getting beaten by them. I call them tier 3 and then Paul keeps losing to them.
That's the thing, is my Tusker here, because that's taught me something. My Tusker is a giant, effectively, a mini giant. He rolls on a giant. It's some elephants I'm using. I'm using some Pendragon elephants. And if he fails a command roll, he rolls on the giant table. And I was looking at it, and he automatically, not a blunder, he fails an rolls on this table.
And he will fail eventually.
Eventually, of course he will. And I looked at it, and I was like, what are all the results? And I was like, you can actually use that table to your advantage. If you set up the giant so he's facing the enemy you want to attack in his charge range, within 20 of him, you fail that command roll. Quite a lot of those results on that table bring him into combat with that unit.
I mean, even with his supercharge, though.
Yeah.
He took two stands of Lead Belchers and died.
Well, but that was worth... I mean, he is, like... He's not... He only... The model only has four hits and a five save. So, I mean, he is going to die off. But that's what I think. But against your army, against most armies, you'd be like, that wasn't a good trade. But against your army, it was, because you don't have the units to attrition. Well, I do.
I don't have any units to attrition, no. That's the exact opposite of what I have. Okay, so I needed to play Ogres, because at some point we're going to have to discuss them. So I need to start playing, and also I need to start playing with some non-cheesy armies, non-Nippon High Elf Lizardmen armies.
Yeah.
So here we go. We played August. It was a decent game. I made a reasonable fist of it, but there was no point in the game where I felt like I was going to win.
It ended 9-7, and we had 45 minutes left, so we used 2.5 hours. We used quite a long game for us.
Well, you had 15 minutes.
I had 15 minutes left. Yeah,
that was about the only way I could have possibly won. Was this. the cannons were just going to end up eating
me. But I was going to be playing such quick turns because I had my turn. Okay, my cannons shoot. Nothing else does anything. Your turn. Because you were down to one character at that point. You committed two characters. I'd caught two of them out of your three, just in general left. It's like you weren't ordering your army.
First
thing, you weren't ordering your army.
But you have to win the combat.
It's like these poor nobblers are sitting in these buildings going, no one's giving us orders. And we're just getting shelled.
Two stands of Rhinox Riders. And I thought, well, what's that? Because they were going to be charged. So I put in my butcher to try and get and lost and died.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go like, well, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
There was only two stands of knights.
Yes.
And they were going over far superior cavalry.
Yeah, but sometimes...
Happy days.
It's all about the charge.
Sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right, so Paul won. Well done, Paul. Congratulations
indeed,
on that one.
I think that's like, I broke a streak of about 7 or 8 games there.
I'm not keeping track. I know you are. You can go back and count.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the main topic this week is about metagames.
Yes.
Metagames are interesting.
So do,
for
the uneducated, what do you mean by metagame?
A metagame is how a game forms around whatever conditions you're putting in place. So you've got the rules, you've got the models, you've got the army list, you've got also our house rules, which have changed the metagame a lot.
Yes.
Our metagame is way different, as we've talked about with people like dwarves. I would never want to play dwarves in anything other than this rule set.
No, that would shunt them to almost below tier 3.
Well, they'd be tier 3.
Yeah.
Because things like rangers just become liabilities.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole fighting, being able to... If you can fight... If you took away fighting to the front, it's detrimental to the game, definitely.
So yeah, so like that first turn, I charge my brigade into your brigade. I put all my attacks into the rangers.
It's the weakest thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably kill the whole unit, or very nearly kill the whole unit, and then the combat math just goes out the window because suddenly I'm winning by miles.
And also, you just win on attrition then eventually because they don't have a bigger break as you, probably.
And then I've taken out the only thing you can test cavalry
with. Yeah, exactly. It's not good. That is probably the best house rule we've got. And is it in War Master Ancients?
I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Janus.
We'll have to ask Janus, yeah.
Yeah.
It should be.
If it's not, it should be.
Yeah.
So that's how a metagame develops. And then what will happen is, over time, people will say, oh, this is a bent list, you know, this is a tier 1 list. And then people will play tier 1 lists, and then people will bring things to fight against tier 1 lists.
Yeah.
So that's how the game develops. In Magic, if you play Magic the Gathering, there are three types of lists. And left on their own, aggro lists will win.
Yeah.
Always. And then to beat aggro lists, people play mid-range lists.
So what do you mean by an aggro list?
It's like all-in aggression.
Oh, okay, right.
Really cheap stuff to cast.
Yeah.
And just burn you and smash you in the face really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And in order to beat that, you have bigger, better stuff. So you play something called mid-range. So mid-range beats aggro. But mid-range loses to control. And control is like you play board sweepers and really big, like massive mana cost spells, but that beats mid-range. And then what beats control is aggro.
Yeah.
So the circle goes round.
But that makes a perfect, lovely little game system, doesn't it?
Yeah, so depending on how the metagame fits with whatever cards are available in whatever format you're playing, depends on the metagame.
And in War Machine, it's about like popular A-listed casters, but then the metagame there is people learning what they can do about these A-list casters, and then bringing lists that spike against them.
And they also, how they metagame is they have rules errata that they do regularly.
I'm trying to think of a classic example for War Machine, for anyone who knows that game, like Butcher 3 when he came out everyone loved Butcher 3, but he gets shut down massively if you have like a null magic ability. So suddenly the stock value of this guy called Inquisitor, what's his name?
Gravis, is it?
No, the guy who's null magic.
Was he a Retribution guy?
No, he's a merc who is an Inquisitor merc.
Okay, I'm not sure I know the one you're thinking about.
Yeah, but... you do. Like, he wears red, he's got a stick, he like casts null magic.
Orin Midwinter.
Midwinter. Suddenly, this 2-point solo goes massively through the roof because he stops Butcher 3 completely. Like, because the point is, Butcher 3 has spells that bring you closer, but he's going to be within the null magic range to be able to cast that spell on his target. So your Midwinter just stands next to your cast and goes, you can't do that.
Right.
But then on
the flip side, Midwinter is a character, so if you've got to have multiple lists, you can only be in one list.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, but that's an example. You gave an example of magic, I gave an example of
magic. No, you're exactly right. Yeah. So not only are they cleverly building a metagame, there are then... warping the metagame by having stuff you need to use that can only be used in one of your lists, and you have to have multiple lists. So War Machine, they also use things like they have 2 book releases a year,
roughly.
Lots of new models each year. They use they release theme lists, which are basically
tiers.
There's lots of tiers.
Tears for fears.
Basically, it's a marketing tool. So they suddenly think, oh, you know, trenches are a bit undervalued, we're not selling many, so let's make a list that makes trenches good. They haven't managed to do that yet.
No.
One day
they will. Which is such a shame, because Hayley 3, you take a minimum unit of trenches with her, and that's it. That's like, there's
not even the UA? Minimum UA.
Have you seen what a trench UA is?
What's 3 points?
Of stuff? What? What do you get for that?
A snipe.
Oh, wow. Well,
you can dig in and pop smoke. Yeah, whatever.
No, it's not worth it.
10 points, yeah? 10 points.
Yeah.
Get it back. Anyway. So we're not talking about War Machine, but it is a good example. Those two games are both tournament games, Magic and War Machine, and it works because they really work hard on their metagame.
Yeah, and they intention. I can't speak for Magic, but having spoken to some of the big names in War Machine at SmogCon over the past couple of years, they intentionally put things out there that are a bell curve of power. Some things they know are not very good.
Yeah.
They do it anyway. Okay. Some things they know these are really good and they put it out there. They know when they release some tier lists that these tier lists, like, they've caught most of the problems in playtesting, but they know that this is strong. And actually, to their credit, like, one thing I was really interested was Elemental Evolution, a troll list, which was very dominant until a recent errata. They didn't spot. It had been out for a year until someone realised how broken it can be.
It's a light beast spam.
Exactly, yeah. But they never, in their playtesting, no one ever thought to do that. So they admit, like, we made a mistake there, and then they realised how dominant it, because basically somebody realised there was a sweet spot in this tier list, maximised it, did really well, it became everywhere, and then you put an errata to stop that.
But they're quite happy to do that.
But that's really good.
Yeah, there was like some triple teleport shenanigans circle had that they just
And the complaints against it, people say, oh, but you've made my models invalidated. Well, no, they don't, because, for example, a light warbeast is FAU, you can take as many of them as you like in any list, you just cheesemonger are trying to take like more than you should.
Cheesemonger.
You know, like, and that they haven't invalidated it. Like, when in the recent errata, trolls got hit hard by the nerf bat, and it's like this, everyone's saying, oh, they've made wardens no good. But no, what they've done is validated champions.
Yeah.
That's really exactly what they've done, because no one took Trollkin champions.
Yeah.
And now, because they would take wardens. And now, wardens are all defensive, and champions are all the attack. So they've actually not invalidated wardens, they've validated champions.
Yeah, and in Magic, if you're following Modern particularly, they've destroyed Modern effectively by bringing out Eldrazi, and they're claiming that they actually knew this was coming and they're not going to ban anything in the near term, but
so
they will have to
bring me up to speed with Magic.
So basically what they released this set,
yeah,
and it was good in Standard, but it's obscenely good in Modern, which is a format that runs like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's so good, it's just dominated completely. So like, from having a diverse top 16 in an event where you'd have like 10 different types of deck, you're now having like a top 16 that's got 14 Eldrazi decks.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
But what that is allowing now is control decks, which had no place in Modern, to come back, because they're the things that can beat them.
Beat them, yeah.
And before Eldrazi existed, control didn't exist. So if you allow a metagame to develop, it will solve itself.
Yeah, I mean, and when you put out things, when things are put to print and published, you know, somebody out there will think up some way to like min-max or to like, you know, like look at that loophole somewhere to get the rules, which you as a games designer, as much as you can playtest forever, won't.
I mean, you can't playtest forever.
Well, same,
you've got stuff to do. You're on the next book.
Well, exactly. Like, you have an agenda. You've got money, bills to pay. What I'm saying is, it's inevitable these things will happen.
Yeah, and it's not a problem.
No, I think
people
it's
stress out. People say, "Oh God, the game's broken." The game's
grow a pair.
Yeah, grow a pair. Change what you're doing, or wait for it to correct, and they will correct.
Yeah.
So what Privateer Press also do with War Machine is every year they release a set of scenarios to say, this year, these are scenarios.
Yeah.
And those scenarios change how you build lists and play.
Definitely. And that's really good, because they make that available free. And I would say with erratas, it's like, if you're a Legion player, enjoy the limelight while you've got it, because the next errata is definitely going to hit them.
No,
it is.
It's like, no, they've been around forever, Legion. They've been around 10 years,
but they're not 10 years. But that's the good thing about Privateer Press, is they will change things that have been established for a long time. Haley 3, for example.
Haley 2.
Haley 2, for example. Okay. Which they changed. Yeah, like, so they will. I think Legion lists, Legion are now the faction that uses too much of the same stuff. And unless a lot of people start using a Blightbringer.
I will.
But I'm just saying, in general, then you're going to see an errata that hits Machinations of Shadow. You must do.
I don't think it's that strong.
But it's all you do see.
Okay, well, not from me.
I know, but that's the thing.
Not from
Mark. It's always when you talk about this, it's always the person says, it's not me. And it's like, yeah, it probably isn't. But in general, it is. Like, in Signar, I didn't use Haley too much. But everybody else did. Like, I think, but it was.
Yeah, but I used Haley 1. You used Haley 2. I like Haley 1. Haley 1's awesome.
and also miserable for your opponent to play again.
If it's in a tournament, I'm not worrying about how you're enjoying the game. I'm just worrying about winning.
It's true, it's true. Okay.
So I'll give you a buy you a cup of tea.
So, where are we talking about on this bullet point?
Okay, so we're on metagames. Right, so there are two scenarios, tiers, okay, and why they're important. And why they're important. So, this ogre list here.
Yes.
And this ogre army, in the game as it is now, is awful.
Yes.
But if we did something like created scenarios that kind of, what's the word, kind of change the balance between infantry and cavalry, then these guys have got some good infantry.
Yeah, they have.
They've got some awful rules. If you're playing against humans, I'm going to go in this... Imagine I've got to hold a piece of terrain to score an objective point.
I'll just wave a bunch of humans.
Yeah, because then they're going out of the terrain. So we're coming to get them. We're coming to get them.
Oh, I have to. Oh, no.
But building scenarios is a way that you can make a metagame different. So if people are saying that, oh, cavalry's broken, flank charges are broken, putting in another win condition, so the fourth win condition would be, for example, let's say there was a piece of terrain, like a town in the middle of the board, and from the second player's second turn, you could score 1 point for owning that town. So you're in there with a reasonable amount of stuff, say a whole
you
unit.
You dominate it.
Yeah, and there are no enemies in that terrain. You get a point, and maybe the first 5 points wins.
Yeah,
it'd
I mean,
be difficult
it's,
to do.
Well, we have to test it. We have to play games with scenarios and see what happens.
I think it would definitely change how the game's played.
But we would have to just play a lot to find out.
Because you couldn't have, I mean, as you said, the Bretonians might struggle.
Yeah.
But not so much with the tournament list.
No.
Because they have got some reasons.
They've got Grammar Pilgrims and...
Yeah, they're annoying.
Yeah, I get better stuff. Yeah, no, totally. But I get what you're saying. I am saying, though, that in a game system where there's like 35 lists currently, until we cut down some... that's a lot of playtesting. Like, oh my god,
it's like, a lot. It may infantry may help with people like Nippon, may make me better.
Nippon, that's what I need.
Exactly, Nippon are good anyway. Metagames. I like the idea of the metagame developing.
Yeah. I mean, it'd
be interesting to see how this French metagame's developed because they've got some hybrid.
Explain what the French is.
So the hybrid. Ancients and Warmaster
basic. I am definitely interested
fused
in that.
Together.
If we can, like, maybe that's the future. You know, like, is using that, is doing that. I don't know. Well, get Jim to translate it.
In his spare time.
In his spare time.
Come on, Jim. Yeah. I know you listen.
I don't care about a job. Go and do this.
Take a sabbatical. And Babel fish it or something.
That would be interesting.
Maybe that's what we'll have to do, Babel
because,
fish it.
Because Ancients came after Warmaster... was geared as version 2. Rick wanted to release version 2 of Warmaster. That would be very interesting to see because, who knows?
It'd be interesting to see. Right, so we've done that now. So we're going to talk about Blood Bowl a little bit.
Okay, so basically another thing, a bullet point we wanted to say about is recently our club holds a semi-regular big Blood Bowl event. Darren Wadland does this. Is it Wadland or
Wadland?
Wadland.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Darren. Anyway, it was at 40k. He had 40 coaches. It was really cool, and he ran this event. Now, the thing about it was that I think I've played Blood Bowl to death, to be honest. And I've played it so much with all the teams over time that it's I could do it in my sleep. I'm not saying I'm the best Blood Bowl coach, but it's not. It just feels like a record I've listened to too much. Anyway, the event was on a Saturday and Sunday. I was at work on the Saturday, and it's too much for one person to run the event at 40, having run an event recently, like, and be the rules coach and the spare player.
Yeah,
it's too much. And I was chatting to him on Facebook, and I was like, I had the time on Sunday to come down and cover two of his games. So I said I would, and I did. So I turned up on Sunday as his spare play to allow him to take photos, to deal with all the admin of the rest of it. And if I had the time, and in the future, I will do this for Darren, is that I'll be his spare player. Because to me,
I'll
be his Huckleberry. I'm happy to play a quick game of Blood Bowl and paint some models while I wait. And let the good for the benefit of the club run this event. Anyway, going to that was like, how can I make this interesting for myself? And I was like, the big thing I think about Blood Bowl is that it should be played on 4-minute time turns. It's meant to be, but
it's
no
in
one,
the rule book.
It's in the rule book, but no one does it. You know, like, and the thing about Blood Bowl is that when you start to lose, there's little you can do to come back. If you get several spikes and you've, against the run of mill of dice, you've lost a couple of guys dead, because it is a single D6 system, that you just spirals down and it's impossible to come back. Now, and in a way like chess, if you lose a few pieces early on, you can't win, you know, because the person will, you just can't get over that.
Well, there's certainly been more games in Blood Bowl than anything else I've played.
Yes.
Where at half time I know I've lost.
Exactly.
And it's just a miserable final hour.
Because it, and then what makes that unpleasant is if your opponent takes forever to slowly beat you, which is going to happen.
Even though he knows he's won.
Exactly. And it's like, that's not fun. You know, so if it was 4-minute time turns, I was like, can I play a game of a turn of Blood Bowl in 4 minutes? I was going to turn up, be the spare player, because I don't care about my results, and I'm only playing the worst players in this event anyway. So it's like, well, I'll put myself on a clock, not them, but I'll explain, I'm on the clock. If my turn takes over 4 minutes, it's a turnover to you. That's my turnover.
Yep.
Well, that was interesting because, like, it's again like a thesis. You've got to put it into practice. Now 40 coaches, so 20 games going on. I played 2 games. Both rounds, I was by far the quickest one to finish. In the first round, I finished with over an hour left, and like
a 2-hour game.
2-hour game. Yeah, I was like done.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing is like I
because you're not taking 4 minutes every turn.
4 minutes.
Some turns,
yeah,
just like, no, literally, like you roll a dice.
Four minutes was plenty. I mean, in fact, 2 minutes would be too much, too quick. But 4 minutes is plenty of time. And I allowed my opponent to take however long they needed. Just when I said it was my turn, click, clock, go. Much better. Now, what was interesting about that was the first round opponents, a guy who's lost 3 games already, first day, played me. I won quite comfortably 2-1. I mean, I took a human team because they're generically average.
Yeah.
And he took a wood elf team. And there's only one way to wrongly build a wood elf team. And he managed to do it by taking no rerolls. I was just like... Well,
but did he even take leader as a skill?
And I was just like, this is just, and well, there's a reason you've lost. And like, anyway.
And then complain every time you roll a two.
Well, it's like Blood Bowl coaches. It's like,
I rolled another one!
It's going to happen every 6 times you roll the dice, isn't it, you muppet?
And it can happen 3 times in a row. Yeah. That's not that unusual.
So I comfortably won 2-1. And after the game, like he said to me that was his most enjoyable game of Blood Bowl he's played, like at the event so far, and I was like, well, that's interesting because not only did we play it nice and quickly and we've got now this free time, but you enjoyed. No, but he's saying he enjoyed it. It wasn't like the clock made the experience too competitive or too unenjoyable.
Yeah.
He preferred it. Like, he wasn't on the clock. He's just like, I didn't waste time. Basically, my turn, I'm doing this, done. Or my turn, I'm going to stall out here, and your turn. Or my turn, I'm just going to score the touchdown.
Hey.
Your turn. You know, like, and the second game, I played a guy who equally was quick-paced, and we had a 3-3 result, like humans versus Skaven.
Huh.
And it was fun. I mean, it was basically what I'm saying is Blood Bowl is meant to be a fantasy football game. It's meant to be fast-paced. It's meant to be, like, in the moment, and that's what you're doing. Like, you know, I've thought about what I'm going to do in your turn. I don't need time in my turn to mull it all over.
Yeah.
It's not a complicated game. I've worked it out, and this is what I'm going to try. Work it, doesn't work. I've rolled the dice. You know, so... That was very interesting. And as I said to Darren, you should bring time turns in. Okay, you're only thinking about it.
It's difficult, though, because I've tried it before. And there are enough people who are set in their ways and don't want to know that it's really difficult
to
overcome.
That's the thing. It's like, literally, so we played. So the fourth round was going to be a round and lunch. We'd finished in under an hour. There was a game that went into all of the lunch break.
The whole
lunch break. It was... And the two playing it looked proper miserable. Like, as in, like, neither of them were enjoying it. And it's like, how can they take so long, you know, like, to play?
Because there's no limit on how long
they can
take.
That's the thing, because there isn't. And then people need rules. Yeah, you know, like, and I was just like, this is... Like, look, and eventually, Darren had to go over and say, look, no joke, we're starting round two now, so you've got to finish. But he's just not a very, like, authoritative guy, Darren. So it's like, he just, you know, he doesn't want that hassle. You know, like, he wants to be enjoyable for everybody. But it's in, if you give people these...
Darren, if you don't know Darren, I mean, I'm not comparing him to Hodor for mental skills, but he's like the size of Hodor. He He's huge.
He's Mighty D. He's a Mighty D.
If he looked at you and just like didn't say anything, just like growl, snarled at you, he's like.
I do what I should do. Yeah.
But he's like a big gentle giant, as you can imagine.
Well, exactly, and it's like, and he didn't, and that's the thing. So, what I'm saying is that this time turns was fantastic. As in, like, I said, well, look at it. The results speak for themselves. Like, if everyone was on this clock, not only would you could do more rounds in a day.
Maybe.
Yeah, you could, because they were like, right, everybody, go. Like, the most this game can take is if you both took 4 minutes a turn, 16 turns. You can't run that long.
Well, it's over 2 hours, but it's not a great deal over 2 hours.
But it won't be.
But it won't be, because you're not going to take 4 minutes in every turn, because no. Some of them you do nothing.
Because some of them will be a turnover, like double one.
Yeah.
You know? So, what I'd say to Darren is, like, if you brought back a time turn event, it might discourage some people, but it would encourage other people. For me, I'd be like, ooh, excellent, I'd play in that. But others would be like, probably no. But if you have...
I think it might be quite a hard split. I don't think it's going to be like Warmaster, where you had, like, 14 yes and 1 no. I think it might be like...
Yeah, no,
it might be 20 yes, 20 no.
Definitely. I don't know. But it's like, I mean, it's something different. And the thing about Blood Bowl events is they're all the same. And that would be something different. And you just do it as a straight 1 million event, straight up, resurrection tournament, you know, like, you know, starting teams. None of these extra skills or anything.
None of that?
No, none of it. Just 4 minute turns.
Cool.
Because then there's even less to think about, isn't there?
What's nothing to think about?
There's nothing. Is it like you've got your starting team?
If you've been playing any length of time, you know what everything does.
Yeah.
So I think, this is quite brave to say, but I think they're going to reboot that game. I think they're going to...
Blood Bowl?
Yeah, I think they're really going to go to town with it.
Well, the main problem about it, I would say, is that I prefer league play and Blood Bowl because you get to develop a team. But therein comes the ultimate problem, is that whenever you mostly roll skill advances for your players, if you can take block and dodge, that's what you take.
But that's all you do in tournament
play. That's what I'm saying.
That's all you do in anything.
Like you've got this great range of skills, but you never use it because ultimately, nothing's better than choosing block or dodge.
So you get double, like you go, like in some tournaments they give you a double. What do you do with the double?
Take a block or a dodge
on a big guy.
Yeah, exactly.
On a big guy. It's like, yeah, exactly. A double.
The only time you don't take a block or a dodge is if you've got access to some really funky double skill that might be great for a positional play, or it's a stat increase, and even then it'll have to be a good one. Like, I don't think anyone ever takes armor. Yeah, like,
not really.
Or like speed on a troll. it's not worth it. It's just, you just take block and dodge. And
this, but this goes back to what we were talking. This metagame is 100% without a shadow of a doubt solved.
Yeah.
There is nothing left unexplored in Blood Bowl.
No.
If you say, how do I develop this team?
Well,
this is how I develop the team.
Yeah.
You know, only take this. You only take strength or agility. Mm-hmm. If you're a Wood Elf player, they're the only things you can say. Oh, maybe movement. But you know what I mean? Everything has been solved. Yeah. You can find the information you need for anything.
The NAF, in my humble opinion, has done very well in some things, but has failed in others, is that they should have been doing new teams. Like, they never had seasonal teams, have they? Like, oh, we're going to try Bretonians for this season.
Right.
They've never
done... Well, it's worse than that, because GW are going back and deleting the last three teams.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's where the NAF has fallen over, because they've developed... I think it's very good what they've done, but they have stagnated, and that's not good.
Yeah.
But equally, you've got to say, proof is in results. A 900-player event in the Blood Bowl World Championship surely is a good result.
I'm not saying that Blood Bowl isn't a good game. I do love Blood Bowl, but I just have no desire to play it.
Yeah, I think we've played it too much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right, well, we also had an interesting incident.
Oh,
incident behaving like a baby. Come on, Paul. Let's see it.
Well, I've got two examples.
Two.
So, okay, so I'm playing my round four against this guy. On my right is this person who's vying for the Stunty Cup. So he's using a goblin team. Now, he's renowned for having a bad attitude. You know, like, and...
Which is why he plays a team that he can always say, I'm playing Stunty when he loses.
Oh, it was just ridiculous. I mean, the amount of, like, of...
What Stunty does he use? Halflings?
Goblins. And the amount of, like, bad language coming out of him and just, like, just bad attitude was just awful. Honestly, I almost turned around and, like, had a go at him for my... I'm not even playing him. It's like,
I'm the spare player.
Like, literally, like, I almost felt like turning around and saying to him, look, you're just so a bad experience. You're actually affecting my game, and it's not even yours, is it? You know, like, and his opponent, it's just like, he was just being proper miserable. Basically, anything that went against him, he was being proper miserable. And, like, if I was a spare player and I drew him, I'd be like, not interested. You could take, I forfeit. There you go.
It's interesting. I didn't forfeit a game in the summer, but the last time I played Blood Bowl in a tournament, one of my games was so bad and went on so long that I literally didn't bother playing it. I lose 2-1, whatever.
Yeah.
My life's worth more than this. I've got time and energy.
See, I'm not going to name this guy's name because that would be bad manners. But it's just like, he's renowned for it. And I can say he because there's no women playing this
game. So when you play a game, let's face facts, we're playing games with toy soldiers, yeah, right? When you're playing a game, you have a social contract.
Yes, well, at least exactly.
It's not like you have to let the guy win, but at least let him have some enjoyment.
You have a moral duty to make that experience at least like you have to turn
bearable.
Up. Bearable, don't you? You have to turn up. You have to be in the day, on the day. You have to be, and you just, and that opponent's paid money deserves you to like be nice.
Civil. It's like every time I break your armor, that's not like, you know, that's not like me. I haven't sacrificed my firstborn to the devil to make the dice break your armor.
Burn them to the Lord of Light. Fucking hell, Stannis.
It's like, it was worth it. No.
Jesus, you've just been starting to be a good dad.
People get so frustrated about dice. It's like, the dice.
Yeah, it's so, I mean,
The thing is,
everyone gets invested. Of course they do. Because if they weren't invested, there would be no competitive spirit. But, I mean, and we could all be guilty, hands up here, of not being the best opponent we could have been at times. But this was ridiculous. Like, as in, like, this guy on my right, it was just awful. And I just, like, you twat, basically. You know, like, I'd ban you. Yeah, like
Well, that is interesting because that would send send out a message to say, look, if you can't behave to these minimum standards, don't bother.
Which aren't high.
Yeah, like, we're not asking for much.
Yeah. And the thing is, okay, so this guy is doing this. Later on that round or something like that, there's a proper bit of nerd rage. Some guy actually throws something, you know, in anger, not at anybody, but just throws an object like
a miniature or dice.
I can't remember what he threw, but like it was probably dice. But it was, I can't believe, I mean, it's like that classic YouTube video of that person nerd raging at a magic event.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it was just so OTT that, I mean, Darren obviously polite to a fault, didn't do anything. But like, I'd have just been like, get out. Just get out. Like, look, if you can't act like that's how a child is sulking. That's when you see a video clip of a 5-year-old throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
That's what a child does. That's not how an adult acts. And if you can't act like that, just get out. Don't come back. I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like,
were these top tables at least? We talk about people that were.
I'm not sure what the tables were, to be honest, on the event.
Yeah. If somebody playing like.
I think everyone was just playing
at their own 12.
Tables. Yeah,
it's like, please.
But it was proper ridiculous, you know, like attitude, behaviour. Me, I would throw them out and I would never sell them a ticket again. And it's like, and that's the thing, if I run an event and somebody who is a negative experience wants to buy a ticket to an event that I'm running, I just refund it to them. I'd be like, no. Like, you know, you had a chance, you failed. No. Like, we're not entertaining your shy attitude at this.
Okay,
it's like, you know, like you go and, I don't know, run a mile or something. I don't know, do something.
I'm looking forward to Paul having children. I won't take that behaviour. No, give me 10.
If kids, you expect bad behaviour. My wife's a teacher. She comes in moaning about how the way kids. She was moaning to me at dinner last night, literally where we're sitting on this table, about some gobby year 10 who just like,
what's that, year 10? Yeah, what's that
girl
like
who just
14,
like
15?
Yeah, who just the worst attitude. I know, yeah, it's like that is a really bad attitude. But she is a 14-year-old sulking girl. That is how they act.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think when you become an adult, so I'm saying like 18 and up, you start to act like an adult. And I'll call you on it if you're not acting like an adult. Yeah? It's like, it's not too much to ask, is it? It's like, yeah. Especially, because that's the thing, it's like, when something that just isn't as important, is so unimportant as what this is, it's meant to be for fun, isn't it? It's not like literally, your patient came in with sepsis, we didn't do the antibiotics, because, you know, like, I wanted my coffee break or something. Anyway, one thing led to another, they're dead. You know, like, don't get angry about it.
What I would say, on a similar vein, is if you're going into a restaurant, and your food doesn't come quickly, whatever you do, don't complain until after you've got your food. Complaining 3 times and then storming out before you've got your food is going to lead to a bad experience for the people left behind.
Achieves nothing.
Achieves a sore ass is what it achieves. Yeah. Right, so.
But as I say, like, I cannot, I just, I'm watching this happen, and I said to Darren, he's like, you should you should.
He won't ban him.
No, that's what should happen. And it's and that's the thing is, it would be awkward, of course it would, at the time, but, well.
Maybe he'd learn him a lesson.
Yeah, teach it. Well, it's the only way somebody's going to learn, isn't it? If you'd go up to that person and say, right, your behaviour's ridiculous, get your stuff out, you're out.
Get it, I'll refund your money. I'll refund your money. There's no problem.
Here's your money back, go.
Yeah, hooray!
Yeah.
Okay. Our next list. Thanks for that, Paul. NetEpic and why I've...
So, Barry jumped into NetEpic, and then he jumped out, and it's like parachuted in, so touched a toe into it, a pinky.
A typical Paul fashion. I was tipping a pinky. Tell Paul, could you give me the link to where the stuff's from? And then rather than just give me the stuff, Paul then linked me into a group of 12 other players who were all frothing on Facebook. So I spent a couple of days, I printed off the rules, I tried kind of getting myself excited, building a list. And I know in my belly if I'm going to enjoy something, so I'm building the list, and I'm getting excited. And then I actually looked at the list, and I looked at the rules, and I thought, I don't want to play this list. And not only that, I don't want to play against this list.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it boiled down to, is like, I tried to get excited. There are some things around 40k, generally, without being specific, that kind of annoy me. I think, you know, you were talking about the kids.
Yeah.
People have a habit of regressing way back and they play 40k.
Yeah.
They go back to like they're 12 years old it's all kind of a bit.
Yeah.
Mine's bigger than yours, kind of thing. So I got to the point of committing and then I decided not to commit. I've got a limited amount of time in my life and as much as fun as it looked. It did look fun, and I'm all for you playing it, and you built a nice little scene for that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's
people laughing about NetEpic, NetEpic podcast. It won't be with me.
Well, no, but I mean, there's probably I don't know, but anyone plays
the NetEpic podcast could be the six of you or eight of you.
It is quite a laugh. I mean, like that's exactly But what you said was because Barry had built this Blood Angel list, which would be all assault marines and like and that kind of stuff, and it did
and all flyers.
Yeah, and he's like you've won or lost in turn two because. Yeah, you've got all the objectives, you've done the damage, or you haven't, and you've lost.
Blood Angels is what I played. Blood Angels is what I played, and that's how you play Blood Angels, I'm telling you.
That's
how they'd have done it.
Yeah.
They'd have had some scouts, the scouts would have identified where we're going, and then everybody would have thundered in. Yep. They were even dropping tanks out of the sky. You know, everything
was murdered. Drop shit.
That's what they'd have done. And they'd have murdered stuff. But back to the social contract. What kind of a game experience would that have provided for either of us?
It would be interesting the first time, kind of annoying the second time, and then not fun at all.
And then what was the point? Yeah. I'm either going to beat you quick or lose quick, and there's no game.
Yeah.
So what Warmaster has done for me is provided a game system which limits the cheese.
Yes.
You can't build that much cheese.
No, you can't. You can't build an army of all Rhinox cavalry.
No, and like most lists, at least a third of your points are already spoken for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's good. I like the way that works. I like the way that most games feel like a game.
Yes, exactly.
And, yeah.
I mean, with myself, it's like, okay, so I've got X amount of time and
just the four armies now. Just four armies on a game system that were two players. Playing at the back end of last year. You and John Webb. There were only two players in the UK.
Oh, in NetEpic we're talking about. Yeah.
And now there are four. You've got four armies.
But how many players are now playing it?
More than two.
Exactly.
Less than 10.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. So. Like, no, there's some good people in the club who are enjoying this. And so, good times roll. And there's so much to do in NetEpic that I'll enjoy it. But as I say, like, so I have limited time. So, I love Warmaster, obviously. Because it's like a fantastic game and I really enjoy it. And it's that, to me, it's that middle ground of competitive / just simply fun. You know, like, War Machine, to me, is, well, there's your competitive game. That's where you take to a tournament and that's what you do. The tier, you know, you'd have to be really, really invested into the fluff to even understand what the fluff list meant to be looking like. And nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, like, so.
It's just whether it's good or not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so that's your competitive game. And again, you know, you take that exactly for what it is. And if you did too much of that, you'd just end up a git. Yeah, like, then you've got NetEpic, which is like completely fluff driven. We haven't yet found the good stuff, I'm sure. Like, what the ways, but it's so funny that like it's just you can't take it seriously, and it's completely fun. Like, literally, this big 7,000 point game
looked fantastic on the table, like the city table, and it just all looked very nice. And when Phil's squat Cyclops thing, basically his version of a Titan, like this big, big tank with a huge gun, fired at me. And I was like, right, so it's hit me. What's the saving throw? Oh, -6. And it's like, you what? It's
like, what?
I literally had to get the rules off him. It was like, let me read that. And I was
what's
like,
what's the point of saying
negative six? Like, roll that dice. Oh, -6. You don't got it. Yeah, like... and it was so funny. And, what I'm saying is, that's just hilarious to me. Yeah, so again, like... We've NetEpic. It's me also. It's got to be, where's this game system going to go, etc.
Mate.
Hear me out.
I'm telling you.
So in War Machine, plenty of events nationwide. Some really good international ones. Great scene, fantastic. In War Master, we've created this scene, which is like 4 events a year. That's good. NetEpic is like, well, people down our club, and there's a good bunch who are playing it, probably won't go beyond that, but we'll just have like NetEpic days where we like turn up to play some NetEpic at 40k or something. It's unlikely to grow outside of our club, but who cares, because you know we're enjoying it in our club and there's plenty to do. And I say, because the armies have a lot of choice in them, like Barry thought of a very, very skewed Space Marine, essentially a Space Marine list.
What?
But that would be very different from another Space Marine list.
Yeah.
It could be. So exactly. There's massive,
I've got a Blood Angels list.
Exactly. There's massive scope in that game system for, you know, like different armies. And the fact that we can get hold of it cheap anyway is really helpful.
Okay.
Because that is
and the rules are free.
The rules are free. And we've got access to really cheap models. So again, those help, because you can, like, literally, I've Tyranids, for example, I can't wait to use on the table. I have no idea if they'll play good or not. They probably won't. They'll probably be really easy to beat, but they'll look great, won't they? They'll look like Tyranids. Here we go with my bugs. It'll be like Starship Troopers. Bugs!
Happy days. No, so onwards and onwards. So, contact details for this, for feedback, etc. You can contact us at the Facebook page. We've got some likes there, got some stuff going on there. We always post the lists and photos and stuff up there. And you can see Paul's win and Paul's winning list today. You can also get us at warmasterpockets@googlemail.com.
Yeah.
I do look at the emails and we will reply to them on air and off air.
Yes. So
good stuff. Future episodes. We're going to have an episode with Janus coming up very soon.
We are. We're going to have a Skype chat, better recorded this time.
Yeah. Have you got headphones?
Yes, I do.
Good.
About War Master Ancients.
So that's going to be an in-depth War Master Ancients, and we're probably not going to release that for a little while. I'll probably hold it until the Easter break, which is coming up soon.
We'll put it in the bag, because the information said isn't time sensitive, so it'll be valid whenever it comes out.
Okay, and yeah, that's it. So this was War Master Podcast episode 13.
So 13.
With Paul and Barry. Metagames and other random things.
Mm-hmm.
And good night from me.
See you later.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stairs, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage bales. Used to be a fag hag, such a that's the tangle. Skip the life and dangle. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a punch, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Because it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on again. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
That sound like Cowboy, man.
What's up, fool?
Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Bill and Raheem, man?
They upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to Fever, man.
Let's check out June, bro.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got robbed, man.
Not
what? Again, she got hurt.
What
is
happening? What is
this? Fire free. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.